baseball, hot dogs, apple pie, and you fill in the blank. Summer and Chevy go together like road trips and sunshine. Check out the full line of Chevy SUVs and trucks at your Chicagoland and Northwest Indiana Chevy dealers today. Chevy, drive Chicago.
No, it sure doesn't. 720 WGN, and Steve Dale is coming on now, and I decided to play something about rabbits because, well, Easter, rabbits, Steve, you see the lot. You see the logic there, right, Steve?
I see the logic, but I'm very upset about the logic. So
I know.
Yeah. I've been doing this for decades, a long time. Mm-hmm. And you'd think that going back 30, 40 years, however long I've been doing all this, that people would stop impulsively purchasing rabbits. Now, the good news is that many pet stores don't sell them. And why am I so upset? It's because forever, rabbits have been associated with Easter, mm-hmm. and people go out and impulsively say, wouldn't the rabbit be nice for the kids? And the answer to that, John Landecker, is...
maybe not.
I would put it a little more strongly than that.
But wait a minute, hold on. You do say in this article that they do make good pets, that they're very friendly, that, you know, they're happy, so to speak, and hoppy, right?
Absolutely right. House rabbits can be terrific. I mean,
So if they were willing to take on the responsibility of everything and get them trained for a litter box, is that right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I'll go through some...
okay,
conceptions.
Sorry. My bad.
About rabbits,
I'll just sit back here and wait. That's okay.
No. But you're right. House rabbits are terrific pets. They are, in fact, in America, the third most popular pet. I mean, dogs are number one, cats are number two, and they are way up there. And there are less than a quarter of the number of rabbits, because we do spay and neuter them. Otherwise, there'd be many more, compared to dogs and cats. But they are terrific pets. However, no pet, dog, cat, chinchilla, the boa constrictor snake, no pet is appropriate to purchase impulsively without understanding what you're getting. And the problem is people still do that with rabbits, and they then learn that they're not everything they thought they were, or they get bored with them and they just let them outside, which is a death sentence to a house rabbit. They're not equipped to live outdoors at all, or they're given up to an animal shelter. And by the way, if you'd like a rabbit, Red Door Animal Shelter in the Chicago area is a great place to look. They kind of specialize in bunnies.
You know, what happened, I don't know where, and I'm not going to go look, but somewhere within the greater area of my house and land, we must have, what do you call them? A rabbit family. What would the term be? Because they come bouncing around the backyard at night, with great regularity, much to the chagrin of my dog, I might add.
Well, I don't know if your dog, I think your dog may be frustrated that I can't get to those bunnies. I don't really know.
That's right.
But much to the chagrin of those rabbits that there's a dog around. But those are wild rabbits that live outdoors. They live several years outdoors, and they belong there. They're wonderful, except for our gardens. But they are wonderful. But they are part of the natural environment. Sometimes hawks or eagles, if there are any hawks in particular near you, will take advantage of that. In the big city, sad to say, rats will even make a dinner out of young rabbits. And so will stray cats if they can get them, or feral cats or community cats, one and the same. Mm. However, rabbits are great pets. And would you like to hear some facts about rabbits?
Of course I would.
I knew you would.
Yeah.
So we all know, because we've watched Bugs Bunny, which is a great educator, that rabbits do like carrots. But if we fed them mostly carrots, they would have as many health problems as a person might have who ate only candy. and that would be all that person ate. So that person wouldn't be healthy. Same is true for rabbits. So the chief diet should be a variety of hays and pellets, both all of which can be purchased at a pet store. House rabbits should only be in the house, as I mentioned. Mm-hmm. When it gets cold outside, and hopefully we've seen enough of that, but I don't think we have in Chicago, they cannot deal with it. But they also can't handle potential predators. The pesticides we put on our lawns, all of that, coyotes, for example, would be very fast to catch a house rabbit. They're just not equipped to live outside. We do need, as pet rabbits, house rabbits, to spay and neuter them. Uterine cancer rates are really high among rabbits. And if not metastasized, there is a high curative rate, but as rabbits age, they're more likely that the cancer will be metastasized. So, and then that's a death sentence pretty much. And we get attached to all our pets, including rabbits. So spay or neuter. By neutering, potential hormone-related behavior problems can be avoided. That's important because these behavior problems are often reasons for people giving up rabbits to animal shelters.
Where'd you learn all this stuff? Where does Steve Dale pick up all this information?
I don't know. I watch Password. I don't know.
Sure
years of me doing this, I suppose.
Yeah.
Rabbits, you mentioned litter boxes, and that's important. So pet ferrets, and of course we know cats, and maybe other pets I can't think of, can be litter box trained, and rabbits are certainly one. Now, there are specific litters nowadays that are better for rabbits, and rabbits need to be excited about their litter box. So a litter box that is large enough. So don't you have to be excited about your toilet? Come on.
Well, I never thought about it that way. No.
Oh.
I'm not excited. As long as it works, it's all right. I get excited about it? No.
Now, I do want to tell people this.
Yes.
When I've been in studio with you, I've seen you leave, and you're obviously going to the restroom, and then you come back with a big smile on your face. So I'm thinking that you were excited about whatever happened in there. So a litter box has to be large enough so that the rabbit has plenty of elbow room. The box has to have rabbit-friendly litter, and then add hay to it as well. Because actually, this gets complicated, but rabbits will actually eat some of what they release
in
their feces.
Yeah.
And that's perfectly normal for rabbits to do. Rabbits are social. They love having friends, assuming your rabbit is spayed neutered. Otherwise, you're going to have a whole lot of friends.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah.
They have to approve of their friends. So I'm not sure of the dating service for that, but speed dating is a really good idea. So what you do is you place the bunny inside a carrier, a crate, or a cage of some kind, and kind of test the compatibility. And the rabbits that has been there will say, no, not you. Oh, you're okay. And that's the best way to introduce rabbits to one another. So rabbits can live together very, very well, but they don't always, like cats, really, they don't always like the companion you choose.
Who does?
This has got to be the craziest segment. But the biggest thing of all, and I'm serious about this,
yes.
People think I am going to get a bunny for my five-year-old. And that is a disaster from the rabbit's point of view. Rabbits actually, if you have a small kid, rabbits are not the best pet for them. Absolutely not. So children and human beings love to hug and to cuddle. We are hardwired to. So a five-year-old is going to want to hug that bunny, maybe pick up the bunny. So being hugged is something that the rabbit feels confined. And in doing so, they'll thrash about, kick, and if that happens, the bunny will fall to the ground, perhaps. And even falling, say, 3 or 4 feet off the ground, a cat, no issue. A dog, probably no problem. But a rabbit can get very seriously injured that way. And rabbits are born with a fear of heights. What do you call that? Is that heightophobia? I don't think so. Acrophobia? Whatever that phobia
is. It's a phobia, that's for sure.
It's a phobia, and rabbits have it. They're born with that. So for more information about house rabbits, you can go to, get this website, rabbit.org. That's the House Rabbit Foundation. It's a national website. Or, as I say, any animal shelter, anti-cruelty, often has rabbits. Chicago Animal Care and Control often has rabbits. And I can assure you that Red Door Animal Shelter in Chicago will have rabbits.
All right. More with Steve when we come back on 720 WGN. That's right. That's where we are, 720 WGN. John Landecker at 850 in the midst of talking about animals and the people who love them and take care of them with Steve Dale, a.k.a. Mr. Funny, apparently. According to this article that you wrote, I'm reading about this. How do you say this researcher's name who passed away? How do you say that?
Dr. Berute Galdikas.
Right. And I'm reading it. It's very informative, very touching, which I'll let you get to in a second here. And then I get down at the end here. And this, she marries a farmer, who gives you the name, which I can't pronounce, but when you translate it, it means Mr. Funny. So there. I didn't do a very good job of explaining that, but that's what it is. And that's his nickname from now on.
In Borneo.
But oh, in Borneo.
They thought I was. So let me explain the background here.
Oh, yeah.
I think that needs to happen. So three primatologists back, God, I wish I could remember the year, but we're talking the 1960s maybe, were hired by Louis Leakey. Louis Leakey is the famed archaeologist / primate expert who wanted to understand more about our cousins, meaning gorillas, orangutans, and chimpanzees. At that point in time, so little was actually known about these animals that are so closely related to us. I mean, the chimpanzee's genetics, as I'm sure you know, is more than 99% of the same as ours. But yet, at that point in time, we knew so little about them. And the story goes that Dr. Leakey was determined to hire women, which was unheard of at that time, to do this. He thought that a male researcher would go out into the field for maybe a year, maybe two, write a couple of papers, write a book, and go back and teach. He wanted someone who would be committed to studying these animals year after year after year for maybe even decades. And he found them. He found Dr. Jane Goodall, who studied chimpanzees and later became a world activist. Dr. Diane Fossey, if you saw the movie Gorillas in the Mist, that was her. And she studied gorillas. And I will say it's one of the great pleasures of my life that on more than one occasion, I had the opportunity to interview Jane Goodall. Once I spoke to Diane Fossey, but the third member of this group that were called Lewis's Angels, they called them that because at the time there was that TV show, Charlie's Angels. And these were the three ladies that were out there, and very pretty ladies. The third, Dr. Berute Galdikas, studied orangutans. And because of my interest in animals and specifically primatology, which I actually did a little, I studied a bit, I went to Borneo for some time and I was a field researcher for Dr. Galdikas. I don't think more than once or twice I've ever talked about this on WGN for all the years that I've been on the radio, but it was an experience that changed my life in so many different ways. We would get up in the morning and somehow, some way, from the night before, the field guides would know, and this is before GPS, they would know by winding this way and that way and over there in the forest. Sometimes you would trek for a couple of hours in a rainforest. The great thing about the rainforest, by the way, it would rain. But when it did, by the time the rain actually comes down to you, John, it can be 5 to 10 minutes later. So you know it's raining. You see it in the sky, if you can get a glimpse of the sky, because at times the forest is so thick you can't see the sky. And you hear it coming down, hitting the leaves way above you. But by the time it hits the ground, can actually be 5 minutes or 10 minutes later. It's the most fascinating thing. And we would get up in the morning, and we would know where the orangutan slept the night before. Usually, orangs are solitary, so unless it's a mom with baby, it was one orangutan, and we would set up a hammock underneath and wait for the orangutan to get up in the morning. So we'd get there at 6:30 or 7 in the morning. Orangutans, they like to sleep in on occasion, so they'd get up at 8:30 or 9 o'clock, and we would follow them throughout the forest. We would write down what they ate. We would make note of where they went. If they encountered other animals, including orangutans, most often, then we would note that. And they knew all the orangutans in the forest. They knew their names. I mean, it was the most wonderful experience. And unfortunately, and this still happens, unfortunately, orangutans, because they look so much like us, and they do as babies, are taken in as pets. And they don't make very good pets. So then what happens? Well, they're released back into the forest, but they don't know how to be an orangutan. So I spent some time there being a babysitter, teaching orangutans how to climb trees. I wouldn't do it. I would just put the orangutan on the tree, and then they'd kind of get it and encourage these baby orangutans. I mean, it was just such a...
You know, I can't believe you've never talked about this.
Yeah,
this is unbelievably fascinating. Come on. You're in Borneo. You're like getting up and watching the rain come down. And Dr. Baruti Galdikas, she recently passed away, right?
Yes. Yeah. The last interview that she did, I believe, was with me. And I knew she was ill. Right. And I'm so grateful I had the opportunity to talk to her, and you can go to WGNradio.com. If you can spell her name, you could type it in the search, Galdikas, G-A-L-D-I-K-A-S, and or type in my name and orangutans, and maybe it will come up. I will tell you one quick story, because I know
we don't have time.
News.
Yeah. We are.
Oh, okay, I'll let you go.
Well, okay, but give us your website and all that kind of stuff. You can do that.
Yeah, you can read about it on my website, and that's SteveDale.tv.
You know, I got to hear more about this Borneo thing. Thanks for being on, Steve Dale.
Oh, it's always a pleasure. Hope I did okay.
Yes, you did. Yes, you did, young man.